For the last 7 days, we have been rejoicing before God, being reminded of our role in His great plan, if we overcome. How, with Christ, the first fruits will reign on earth, aiding Him in saving a great harvest of those that survive into the millennium, and then their offspring and descendants. Today, we are preparing for the next step in God's plan, represented by this last great day, a day of judgment. We know that there is a time of judgment on ourselves now, but this is for the other people not included in the plan thus far. Halloween and All Saints is a counterfeit of this day. But God is not a respecter of persons. So all those who lived and died without the knowledge of Christ will have this opportunity, will have their opportunity for salvation also. We are not God's favorites. We've been called for a task. It's very humbling, very sobering. Probably the only thing we can contribute is humility. We're not of the great, the wealthy, the wise. This morning I want to contrast the reality we are given in God's word with the false teaching of Satan's world. In 1986, shortly after Mr. Armstrong's death, the apostasy was already started. At the time, I had no idea. I thought things were going to get better. In the issue of the Good News, shortly after Mr. Armstrong's death, which appeared to eulogize Mr. Armstrong and his achievements, they provided a list of 18 areas purporting to represent what Mr. Armstrong had restored to God's church. At the time, I took that as an accurate thing, but since we have compared it to the sermon Mr. Armstrong gave in December the 17th, 1983, entitled The Mission of the Philadelphia Era, he listed 18 truths he restored, and they do not match with what was purported to be in the worldwide news. The 18th truth that they left off was, we are to be separate from the world. We are to come out of this Babylon of religious confusion. Consider what is taught by the world, by a great organization which Christ in Revelation 17 calls the Great Whore. Mystery, Babylon the Great, verse 15 of Revelation 17 refers to sitting upon many peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. She has made herself rich with her fornications and lies. Oh, that was another thing that got dropped off that list, the identity of Babylon the Great. Because it wasn't long before we were told that everyone has an equal level, equal worth. We're not to consider ourselves higher than anyone else, or having more knowledge than anyone else. Well, we don't, but God does. And what God reveals did not match up with that. We do not compromise with God's truth just so that we can rub along more easily with what we are living in. We are to be not of this world, even though we have to live amongst it. Going back to this great lady, Mystery, Babylon the Great, she has continued to teach Satan's lie to Eve. You shall not surely die. You are an immortal soul. Whereby the world has been taught, if you obey the instructions of this great false church, or our offspring, our harlot daughters, they tend to sort of be a little gentler on what they teach, but it came from the same source. If you obey this organization, you are promised upon death that you won't be dead. You will merely be transformed to heaven. Well, almost. Almost. You may have to go, before you can see the face of God, you may have to go through this sort of limbo, this purgatory. No one quite knows how long this will take. But for a financial consideration, a Babylonian priest could aid your poor, dear departed relative through this limbo, this place of darkness. What a revolting thing to do, to exploit people's grief and concern. That's a very brief explanation of a doctrine which I left behind a long time ago. But trusting that it is accurate, we, when we were learning what we were taught, an accurate reporting of what we were taught, not that it was a truth. Let's now consider what was revealed by Christ through the man he sent at this end time. One, we are not immortal souls. What a shame. Satan's lie is still a lie. We do not have life inherent in ourselves. And at that stage of the feast, I think it's pretty easy to understand that. We're all very tired, even though we've had a fabulous feast and we're very, very grateful. God knows our frame and how frail we are. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, not a transference to another place or wandering around in darkness. Continuing, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is a future, but it comes from through conditions. It's not automatic. It's a gift. It has to be given. We don't have it. Secondly, I don't have a scripture to back this up. There is no purgatory. It's not in the Bible. I can't refer to it. It doesn't exist. I can't show you. It says here, oh, it doesn't say anything. It's not there. Moving on to the next point. Point three. No man or woman has gone to heaven, God's throne, with one notable exception. Let's have a look over in John, verse 3. Sorry, let's go to chapter 3, verse 13. This is Jesus Christ talking to Nicodemus, a man high in the hierarchy of the Jewish religion, who had to come to him secretly at night because it would not have had the approval of the authorities. And just picking out this one verse, this is Christ speaking himself. No man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. The one exception, Jesus Christ himself. In Acts, we haven't got time to turn there. In Acts 2, verses 29, Peter's Pentecost sermon, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried. This great man of God, a man after God's own heart, 2,000 years ago, hundreds of years after his death, was still dead, still buried, and at that time, before the Romans had rearranged the structures of Jerusalem, his sepulchre was still with them. David, in verse 34, he continues, David is not ascended into heaven. Point four. Upon death, human beings enter a long sleep. The kings of Israel, upon death, we were told they slept with their fathers. Psalm 13:3, lest I sleep the sleep of death. That's what it is. It's sleep. Lazarus was asleep. Oh, that's good. He's going to get better. Christ then had to explain, Lazarus is in the sleep of death. They laughed Christ to scorn when a little girl had died. It's all right. She's asleep. She didn't sleep for very long on that occasion. Let's look at a sobering scripture in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5. This is Solomon, with all his worldly wisdom, how he describes... I hope you're looking at Ecclesiastes, I'm looking at Numbers. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 5. For the living know that they shall die. We know that's it. That's our future. One exception, which I haven't got time to go into. But the dead know not anything. They know nothing. No one is looking down. Mum and Dad aren't looking down and saying, oh dear, he's making a complete fool of himself again. They're not suffering. They don't see anything. They are asleep. Don't move your finger when you're trying to read in front of people because you can't find your spot. But the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward. For the memory of them is forgotten. Now, fortunately, that is a little incomplete. Let's pick it up in Ezekiel 37. Because a long time ahead, these people have a promise. Ezekiel 37, verse 11, I try and read through to verse 14. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we are cut off from our parts. Pretty much what Solomon thought. Therefore, prophesy and say unto them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and will cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Eternal when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And I shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Eternal, have spoken it, and performed it. God has said it. It's as good as done. It's cast iron. Assured. Gold-plated. No, not plated. Gold. A golden promise. Obviously, I cannot cover in a few minutes the entire significance of this holy day. It's just one little facet of it. But I wish to remind us all how grateful we should be of God's truth. We aren't worrying about paying for some guy in a frock to speed our family, our loved ones through purgatory. Which, if we remain faithful, we are protected from all the deceits of wicked lies. We can enjoy the glorious liberty availed to us through Jesus Christ and the gospel he brought. Knowing God's plan and the part we can have in it if we remain faithful. As we heard the recording yesterday, for in Adam all die. Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. What a fantastic promise. What a marvelous God. Nobody will be lost for eternity unless they don't want to be part of it.